Well, today is technically on the calendar Trinity Sunday. And for some of you, that won't mean a whole lot, but Trinity as in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's amazing to me how often we will talk about Jesus, and we need to talk about Jesus. How often we will talk about God the Father, and we need to talk about God the Father. But how often do we talk about the Holy Spirit? We are called as Christians to walk in the Spirit of God that was sent to remind us of everything that Jesus taught us. And so today, I want us to be reminded again of some of the things that Jesus taught us in John chapter 13. And remember, this is right before he goes to the cross. This is what we would call the Last Supper. Not quite sure why, because there's another supper coming. It's not the last one. There is the supper with the Lamb, but that's in heaven, right? Are you looking forward to that? Are you getting excited about that? Are you getting your appetite ready for that? You see, today I want to talk about love, because I think love is more of an act of faith than it is one of feelings. Hollywood tells us it's feelings. We know that because people tell us all the time, I fell into love and I fell out of love. I don't know about you, but that sounds just a slight bit fickle to me. Because one of the things that I've discovered about love is that it intersects every single relationship that we will have. From some of the deepest relationships, like marriage, where it's the only relationship where we're called to become one with another person, to relationships with our kids, to relationships that may only last a few moments as we meet somebody at the grocery store. And so love has to be based on our faith, not our feeling. And I love what Jesus says here, a new command I give you. It's new, and notice it's not a suggestion. It is a command. Love one another, and then here's the preface. As I have loved you, you must love others. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Notice, love here is not a suggestion, it is a command. So the question that I often ask anytime I'm commanded by God to do things is, why would God command me to do this? Well, I think the first reason is because it doesn't come naturally to us. I've studied the Bible from one end to the other, and nowhere in there does God say, breathe. Why? Because I'm naturally going to do that. You see, most of the things that God calls us to do not come naturally to us. In order for me to love other people, I have to get out of the way. Now, let me ask you this question. When you go to the grocery store, when you go to the gas station, when you go to the hardware store, let's say, or for you ladies, the Hobby Lobby fabric stuff, why do you go there? Why do you go to the grocery store? And most of you say, well, I want groceries. Notice what you just said, I. Why do we tend to do the things that we do? It's because of ourselves. You see, how many of us go to the grocery store with the focus being, God, who are you going to put in my path today? I'm going to the lumber store. Who are you going to put in my path? I'm going to get gas. Now, hopefully you got a loan before you went to do that. But what is our purpose with most of our lives? Really, if we're honest, it's about ourselves, right? And I think one of the things that Jesus is saying here is, you and I, in order to live out this new command, cannot make life solely about ourselves. We have to understand the context of relationship. We just celebrated a brand new grandbaby named Hazel. And one of the things that I know about Hazel is that she has needs and wants. And when she does not get those met, she will just quietly, saintly sit there and wait. Because she has already got the gift of patience. No. That's a gift given by the Holy Spirit, and she still needs to receive Christ for herself. What does she do? She fusses. She whines. She cries, and maybe even screams, and as she gets a little older, she may even throw a temper tantrum. Do you notice that Jesus was not talking to babies here? When he said, "A new command I give you," he was talking to what we would call grown men. And one of the challenges of this passage for me is that it's not okay for me to act like a child. You see, this is not just a theological issue, this is a maturity issue. If you and I want to know, have we grown up in the faith? Are we still babies or are we mature? A great litmus test for that is, how do you love the people around you? Are you still making it about you? Because let me say this, if you're an adult and you're not wearing diapers, then quit acting like a baby. That's a harsh thing to say, isn't it? But I don't just say that to you, I say that to myself. Because I have these moments in my life where I want to make it about me. Where I want to throw a little temper tantrum. But I think Jesus here is saying, you have to grow up if you're going to obey me and love others. I think the second reason why he gives us this command, love others, is because that's what they need. Jesus calls us to meet people's needs, not necessarily their wants. And I think one of the mistakes that we can make in parenting is that sometimes we will meet our kids' wants, but sadly we neglect their true needs. We have a whole world of kids out there today. Do you know suicide, the rates in teenagers have never been higher? At a time in your life where you have so much to look forward to, you have your health, why is that? It's because the core need of the heart is not being met. And today we are substituting needs for wants. Every person needs love. But I think sometimes we substitute that love for awards, addictions, things that we think will somehow make us feel better when they won't. Technology will never be a substitute for touch, ever. I'm not against Facebook, but there's something different when it's face-to-face life, isn't it? And yeah, I can send you a message, I can encourage you, I can text you, I can call you, but there is something that happens when we do life together, when somebody holds your hand, when you actually feel the presence of love. Why is it so hard to love people? Can I suggest it's because they're people? We're not the easiest things to love. I have a dog. I have two dogs. And I this is an amazing thing to me. Difference between cat people and dog people. If you take your dog and lock it in the trunk for a half an hour, the moment you open the trunk, it's not going to pout. It is so excited to see you. Do that to a cat one time. See, I think most of us, we are more cats than we are dogs. We're not always the easiest to love. And we tend to hiss, we've got claws, and sometimes we bite people. But the question that I have to ask myself is, am I going to make this about how I feel about it or about what Jesus calls me to do? To just simply say yes. Jesus, I'm going to love the people that you put in my life. You know, the average person meets 10,000 people in their lifetime. That's a lot of love, isn't it? And some of that love is day in and day out in marriage. Some of that love, we only get to love them for 30 seconds. And it's easy for us at times to miss those opportunities. And so here's the question. When it comes to the call, the command to love others the way Christ has loved you and loved me, are we going to obey or are we going to delay? That's the command. And then we have the condition. Notice it's unconditional. Jesus loved the disciples not where he wanted them to be, but where they were at. In their immaturity, in their lack of understanding. And you notice he got down and he washed their feet. See, our tendency is we tend to say to people, you clean up, you get presentable, then I'll love you. But Jesus was willing to love them where they were at. The truth is, real love makes it about their need, not mine. And I think a lot of times we have to ask the question, what's the motive behind my love? Am I loving my spouse to get my feet washed? Am I loving my neighbor so that somehow it will benefit me? Notice here that this call, this verse 34, love one another as I have loved you, is sandwiched between two very painful episodes. Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial. That's always fascinated me. It's really easy for me to love people who are lovable. It's hard for me to love people that betray. It's hard for me to love people who are going to stab me in the back or have stabbed me in the back. It's hard for me to love people who won't be loyal or faithful. See, we want to make love conditional. Jesus made it real. Jesus calls us to love people where they're at, not where we want them to be. You see, love is not about them knowing your story. Love is about them knowing the story of Jesus. Which means my goal cannot be just to lecture people. It means to love people. Because the greatest lecture I've ever had was love. It's the one I actually listened to and paid attention to. Love corrects because first, love connects. And I think today we want to correct people without connecting to people. We want to lecture, but we don't want to love. And so then we have the context of love. Jesus didn't just call us to love. He set the example by washing their feet. Have you ever actually washed somebody's feet? That's a very humbling thing. It's kind of odd in our culture because most of us are like, feet are, you know, I don't think 2,000 years ago people had much of a different idea of feet. Why do I say that? Because the lowest servant in the house was the one required to wash the feet. In other words, no one wanted to wash feet. But as they walked through the dirt and the dust of life, they couldn't help but get their feet dirty. See, you could take a shower, you could take a bath, everything else would be clean. But in order to go out and do life, you couldn't keep your feet clean. And so there was someone who was assigned to wash your feet. But you notice, Jesus had sent the disciples ahead to make all the preparations, all of them. They forgot this one. I don't know why. I don't know why they overlooked it. I mean, it wasn't like it was, you know, a new thing. It was something they were very familiar with. Maybe it's because humbling themselves before other people was not at the top of their list. Maybe it wasn't at the forefront of their mind, like oftentimes in my life, where I haven't cultivated a heart of love to where I'm looking for opportunities to humble myself before people to serve them. And so Jesus got up and washed their feet. Now, he was the teacher. He could have exposed their failure. But instead, he loved them. Am I building people up or belittling people? Am I pointing out all of their mistakes and their failures? Or am I coming alongside to fill in? You have to meet people where they are, not where you want them to be. Life just has a way of dirtying people's feet. Even the best of us. It's not a pretty place out there. It's filled with sin, dust, and grime. And if you're going to walk through this life and be real, then you're going to have to deal with the dust. Love is an act of faith, not feelings. And the last thing that I'll mention is we were created to love. It says, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. The litmus test of discipleship is not what you know, it's how you love. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't memorize Scripture, that we shouldn't meditate on Scripture. But what I am saying is, you can memorize the whole book, but if you never actually allow it to transform your life, then it's just simply information, not transformation. And if you haven't been transformed by the love letter of Scripture, of what God has done for you in sending His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, then how in the world are you going to go transform anyone else? You see, Jesus made this statement. If you truly are my disciple and you obey me and you love people, you can't stay a secret Christian. It is impossible to hide your faith unless you choose not to love people. Because what will reveal you to the rest of the world, what will expose you, what will give you away as a Christian is how you treat people. I was sitting in a coffee shop in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. It's where my daughter works. And I don't know about you, but to me, coffee should just be black. It would make it a whole lot simpler. But people come in there and they want a skinny latte with soy milk. I don't even know what that means. If you want a skinny latte, just drink black coffee. It's really skinny. But my daughter has all this stuff memorized. And people, she's got a headset on. And there's people going through the drive-thru, and there's people walking up, and she's listening to all the orders, and she's just making these things. Like, I'm like, how in the world can you keep track of all of that? And in walks a guy. And he walks up, and he says, I'd like an ice water. Really? You came to a coffee shop for ice water? Now, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But that's where my ears pricked up. Nobody goes to a coffee shop for water. They want something in the water. Coffee. There's only one reason that you do that. It's because you don't have any money. And so I walked over. And I said, would it be okay if I bought you a cup of coffee today? And he looked at me, and he's like, I would love that. I said, order whatever you want. He got a macchiato, something, something. I don't know. It wasn't black coffee, but it had a little coffee in it. And after he ordered it, he was sitting off to the side, and then he hollered out. He said, would whipped cream be extra? Now, again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but yeah, they don't give away whipped cream. Of course it's going to be extra. It's like when you get a hamburger and you say, can I get cheese? That's extra. You want bacon? That's extra, right? And my daughter said, I got you covered. $6.31. That's what it cost to love Roger, or Richard, excuse me. You see, beyond that, it required me paying some attention. And I just want to encourage you, God doesn't just love us with the bare minimums. There's extra, right? The heavy whipped cream. Would you be willing to not just love people, but to go beyond for the extra? You see, here's the reality. Every single one of us have things in our life that affect us. When I was 9 years old, I got on a plane and I left and I flew 8,000 miles away from home to go to boarding school. And back then in Africa, the airport, they had like a balcony, and my parents were standing on the balcony, and as I walked out across the tarmac to get on the plane, they had little steps going up. I remember looking back. I remember seeing my mom cry. And I have always had a strong sense of smell. And I smelled the jet fuel. In that moment, I wasn't, but I felt abandoned. When I go to an airport and I smell jet fuel, guess how it makes me feel? Alone. You see, that's just a small part of my story. And every one of you has those things in your life. You see, we were created to be lights in this world. And I have two lighters. Don't worry, I didn't bring cigarettes. They're almost identical. Different color. Truth of it is, you and I were created to be light just like these were. And we come in different colors, don't we? And so often we make it about race and all those other things. It's not. We're just simply called to what? Be a light, to be love. But you know what? Sometimes we get thrown into some pretty tough situations in life. And some of us, we experience being drowned by abuse, by neglect, by harsh words that are said to us in moments. And we don't understand, well, how will that affect me in this life? Let me show you something. You see a problem? But here's the reality. Inside here's the potential. See, life has just taken the spark out. But what if you would love people this way? You would come alongside, and guess what? You'd love them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you speak to us. And I just pray that you would help us to be people who truly do love those around us. And Lord, some of us today, we've been drowned. And we have been in a place where we no longer have any spark. Would you bring people into our lives to bring out the potential? Help us to just simply love the way Christ loved us. We pray these things in your name. Amen.